Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. Joining me is a woman who's making paint, something that's been done for years. And she actually got her paint into stores. And there's a lot of talk about direct-to-consumer businesses, but as I walk through Target and other stores, I see what used to be direct-to-consumer products on the shelves, like Harry's. They used to be a direct to you. That's how they could give you such a low price. But now if you want to use Harry's razors, you could just walk through Target and pick it up. Well, today's guest did the opposite. She got into stores. She got all the attention that you get and the legitimacy that apparently you get by being in stores. And she said, actually, that doesn't make sense. I'm taking my stuff off the shelves. I'm going direct to consumer. I invited her here to talk about how she's doing it, why she's doing that, how she built her businesses, and to pry a little bit into her revenue. Her name is Paula Blankenship. She is the founder of Heirloom Traditions Paint. They're paint with built-in bonding primer and built-in wax. I have to tell you, I know you're looking at me, Paula, as I say this, because you can tell that I don't know what I'm even talking about. But she says she made this paint for people like me who don't know what they're talking about, who don't even know how to paint, and that's why it's doing so well. I should say, this interview where we pry into her business, find out how she did it, is sponsored by two phenomenal sponsors. The first is HostGator for hosting websites. The second is TopTal for hiring developers. Paula, good to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me here. And can't wait to dive in and tell you a little bit more about business and how we got started in the paint business and maybe help you learn how to paint here.
How would you describe what Heirloom Traditions paint is?
I would describe it as a DIY paint product that helps people get great results, even if they don't know how to paint. So we've put the tools and the products together in an easy way and easy to understand, easy to use, that produce phenomenal results, even more than customers are even willing to. I mean, sometimes they can't believe the results they get themselves. So I think we have over-delivered a product. So how would you get that in this world today? So it's always great when you tell people about how great your product is. And when they get it, they say, wow, this stuff really works.
And it really works amazing. Because part of the problem that I have with paint is first you have to sand things down, then you have to put on a primer, then you have to put in the paint, then apparently you put in another layer. Is that right?
A lot of people put on a top coat. They think they need top coat to protect. But our product has everything. We call it all-in-one paint. And, of course, that's where we are at all-in-one-paint.com. You can find us there. And that name says it all because everything you need is in that can.
Just
in other words,
it has a bond. Stir it up from what I saw in the video. Paint. You're done.
Brush it on.
What's the revenue? How much money are you bringing in? Let's talk dollars and cents, Paula.
Oh, well, you know, it sounds very braggadocious here, but I have to tell you that we started this in my kitchen about 7 years ago with my teenage son, and he and I were mixing up paint and putting it into cans, reaching out to small retailers, mom and pops around the country. And of course, as you know, those stores closing as quickly as they're opening. And just to keep up with that and grow my business, I found that that was very difficult.
We're going to spend the whole hour here talking about the full story, but I thought we'd give people a sense of the size so that they could understand why they should listen in. How much are we talking about?
Well, right now we're doing about $1 million a month in sales. Retail. We're retailers nowadays.
In direct to consumer sales. Every month, consumers send $1 million worth of money to you, or $1 million to you, and then you send them paint.
Just before this,
were you running your parents' stores, the stores that your parents started just before?
You know, not the stores that they started, but in their old real estate that they had. You know, they were in the furniture business about 45, 50 years of my life. And of course, my sister and myself owned and operated three different stores in those locations in a small town in Tennessee.
Oh, they own the buildings? You own the stores?
They owned the buildings, and then we put in our own version of a more modernized store, you know, in those buildings. So we didn't really pick up their business and run it by the same name. We put in our own ideas of what we needed to be in that town as we adapted and things changed and small town living kind of things.
And then 2008 happened, the global economic crisis. How did that impact your business?
Well, my business turned off like a water faucet. All at once. We had always made a great living there. And, you know, small town living is the cost of living in a small town in Tennessee is not what it is in a big city, even like Louisville. And living there, we'd always done very well. And these stores provided my sister and my family both great livings. So all of a sudden, it just went from 60 to zero. So when that happened, I began trying to figure out what do I do.
From 60 to what?
I'm saying it went from zero to 60. It went from 60 to zero.
So what? What's the 60 represent? Revenue for the month?
People say zero to 60.
You're talking about the speed. So you're saying this just went from a fast moving business to suddenly all at once stopping. We always pass. I find that entrepreneurs always pass the emotional side of this. I got to spend a couple of minutes on this.
Sure.
You're born to entrepreneurs. You were encouraged to be an entrepreneur. You're a kid who grew up selling lemonade, selling cakes, right? And then, so your identity is, I'm an entrepreneur. I know this stuff. My parents are entrepreneurs. We know this stuff. When you lose it all, how does it impact your sense of self?
It was going to dramatically impact sense of self, and no doubt, how do I even view me at this point? Because I was really scrambling. I had been flipping houses also because, you know, when you own a furniture store, it's easy to, because I was a designer. I was always working on houses and so on. So I had three houses going into that crunch, not to mention my own. So nobody could get any banking, any financing to buy those properties. So I was hurting, and I was trying to figure out, what do I do next? When is this going to let up? When can I make it? And I remember it coming right down to the finite day of this, whenever I was sitting in the month of July thinking, I've got the money to carry myself one more month. After that, I don't know where I turn. I really don't. And in my door walks this man from New York City. And I hope I told you that story. He ended up hiring me. And that took a while for that to even happen. He did end up hiring me several months into this. And I started doing...
Why did he want to hire you? Like, how did he even know that he should be hiring you? He just walked into the store and says, can I hire you?
Well, it took a minute. Again, he just blew in my door one day, he and his girlfriend, and told me that he had bought a house in my town that I had been the designer for. And all the furniture had been sold at auction, and someone told him to come see me. So he walks in my little store with no business going on. And he had my full undivided attention, obviously. And I had no idea who he was, had no idea what coffee he had, and he was a typical New Yorker and a nice guy, but he's pretty brash for my hometown. But so he said, come up and help me, and I started working with him on his home and putting in furniture and rugs and art and so on. And the next thing you know, he said, hey, could you come up and do a building for me in Cleveland, Ohio? I went up and saw that, couldn't believe he owned it. I was in shock, and I was like, wow, this guy's for real. And next thing you know, he said, come up to Danbury, Connecticut. I bought a building there, and it's 1.5 million square feet. And I was like, and you're the owner? He said, yep, I'm the owner. So turns out he bought the old Union Carbide building there that they had built their home office there in Danbury. And he bought it as the sole owner of this, one of the largest transactions in the whole state for even the New York area. And he bought this building. So he and I flipped this building for about 5 years. We worked on all the common areas. And my last client there was General Motors. So it turned into be a big thing for me. And I did that for several years.
So Paula, he saw that you were, what is it called? Dressing houses or setting houses, staging
designing
houses.
That's them.
Yeah. You're designing houses. So he said, can you come design one place for me? And then one place turned into another and another.
Yeah. Which is a blessing. I mean, absolute blessing that this guy blew in my door when he did. The timing was just immaculate timing for that to
and
happen.
And you shut your store. You became an employee of this billionaire, or
I was
what?
A contractor, but yes, I
a
was
contractor.
Under his. Or, I mean, he was telling me what to do, when to do it, and
did
when
you
to
feel
come
at that point? Did you feel okay with the transition? Because you felt, I'm saved. At least I'm not going under financially.
I did.
That's what
you
it
know,
was.
I absolutely looked at it. Like you said, the emotional side here was like, thank you, Lord, for sending this man along my way. And hopefully I can make a living doing this. Of course.
And no shame in being an entrepreneur who's now an employee.
Yeah. Well, again, I wasn't an employee. I was still acting as a designer. And then I told him I have great leads into the floor covering industry, and I'll show you samples. And he ultimately buying his supplies from me to refurbish these huge buildings. So I was really acting as a supplier to him and a designer. So I let him choose my materials, and if he could buy them from me, he did. And if he didn't, he bought them, you know, from someone else. So I just worked it from those angles so I could do well.
What happened to him?
He was killed in a car accident on his 50th birthday, actually.
Just crossing the street?
No, he was driving home from the gym, and I don't know if I think he had a heart attack, and he hit a telephone pole right in the middle of town where he lived, and was killed in that car accident. So very tragic, very tragic.
Can you say what his name
is?
But
I had already left the company at that time. I was already working in my paint business then, so he and I had kind of parted ways, and he was a little ill at me for leaving him mid-project on something. But, you know, the relationship had came to a parting of the minds. So we kind of split up a little bit. And I had started this company, this paint company, in my kitchen. So I was trying to have something to fall back on that I didn't have to travel to up north so much.
How old was your son at the time?
My son was just starting high school, so he was 16, 15, 16, somewhere in there. So he was my only helper.
Can you say what this billionaire's name is?
Yes, Glenn Nelson was his name.
What did he do? What was his business? I don't know.
His company was called Matrix, and he was buying large commercial properties, and he would go in and really look it over and figure out what was ailing the building and the tenants and so on. And
what
just
a perfect
start.
Person for you to meet then.
He was the perfect person for me to meet, and I had to learn how to roll with that crew because, you know, those guys that he had on his team were, first of all, a lot of northern men with great educations, great background. He himself didn't have an education, but he was the smartest, street smart person I've ever known in my life, and I'm sure I'll never meet anyone to come near that. You know, he was just not afraid of anything. He didn't get where he had gotten to in his life by being not a chance and risk taker. So he was the perfect person to watch and learn from.
You didn't finish school. How did your parents feel about, you did not, right? How did your parents feel about that?
I didn't. Well, think back where I'm from, rural community in Tennessee. And, I hardly even beckon the door of school, hated every minute of it. And always knew I had great talent. And always knew I had the wherewithal to do anything. And my parents, they were just, I just had a very unorthodox childhood because they were entrepreneurial, and they definitely taught us that anything you want to do, you can do, and just go for it. They always gave us the support, and they always helped us finance businesses. And, you know, my dad gave us $10,000 when I was 16 years old and said, hey, go up to Chicago and buy I have to tell you, this is a crazy little story, and this tells kind of my background and the whole thing. But we decided we wanted to open, my sister and I, open a clothing store because we like clothes. We wanted to sell these return goods, as we were calling them back in the day. This was when outlets were very popular. But there was a little store that had opened up some hour drive from us. We had heard about it. We went there, and the stuff was from Spiegel, if you know the company Spiegel out of Chicago. And so we did a little research. There was no internet, obviously, so you had to go call the operator and ask on the telephone. And remember, I'm 16 years old. I'm calling. My sister's 18, and I'm in school, supposedly, and I'm calling up the information, calling the operator and asking for information, trying to get information on Spiegel, finally get a hold of someone. The guy says, hey, yeah, you can come up and buy these returns. And it was, if you ordered it, didn't fit, they didn't put it back into inventory. They just throw it into a return bin. So they had really high-end brands. So my dad gives us $10,000 and says, hey, go up there and see, in cash. So my sister and I get in a car. We drive my mother's car. Still don't know why we did that, but we drive up there and we go in to see this Mr. Fox is his name, and tell him that we want to buy $10,000 worth of these. He hands us these manifests and he tells us, which one do you want? And we pick out the ones. We think we're going to go rent a truck and back up and drive it home. He said, oh, it takes about a week to load the truck. It's like a week. We'd had no idea. So we have to stay, and we stay there in Chicago. And so anyway, we end up driving on a 24-foot truck. I end up driving the straight shift truck home down to Tennessee with this, you know, my sister ended up running off and leaving me on the drive. And so I drove home by myself, and she drove home by herself. She got startled in the city, but somebody walked up to her window, scared her. So she drives on and leaves me. And again, 16 years old, driving this truck she rented. And anyway, that was just one little adventure. But I just look back at that and can't imagine that giving my son the equivalent of that today probably would be $50,000 and telling him to go off and drive and get something, you know, at that age. But anyway, our parents just believed that we could do anything. And I look back at today and I go, wow, I think because they did give us the wings to fail and so on, that I just never saw myself as not being able to do anything I wanted to do. So maybe that's a good
thing. How did you decide you wanted to do paint? Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, well, because I've always, you know, had my hands in paint, being, you know, I'm an artist, I draw, paint, and all that. I've always had a paintbrush in my hand. I always knew that paint was a great way to update your interior. And one of the cheapest tools in the box if you're redesigning your home is paint. So I sold paint. You know, one of the stores that my sister and I owned were a floor covering store, and we sold paint. So I had this idea that I wanted to do an online business of some sort so I could take orders and fill these orders and paint this furniture that I was going to buy. I was going to buy like a knockdown furniture in a box, paint it up, an assortment of colors that I was going to show on my website and let people pick a color. I was going to paint the furniture and then stick it back into the box and send it to them as a designer idea. That was my whole MO. And I created a color card, and that was going to be my paint colors. I posted that on my Facebook page. And from that, someone reached out to me and asked me, could they buy some of this paint? Well, the paint didn't exist at that moment. It was just the colors. And I said, sure. And, you know, I realizing that, hey, this is the beginning of this, so let me just let somebody buy some paint, and I'll have to make a bulk of this paint, so maybe this will help my minimums here. So I tell her, and so she said, sure, I'll buy some. So she bought some, and next thing you know, she was selling it. And I was like, oh, wow, she's selling it. So another lady asked me the same. It just continued to grow, and like crazy. I had 50 retailers in like 6 months. I was charging $1,200 for a wholesale assortment of these paints. And that's all it took to get in business with me. And I would give them a territory of whatever mileage around them and so on. So that's how I started it. And
she had a store and she wanted to sell it in her store. And you said, you can sell it in your store. And you've got exclusive on this paint that I just imagined and invented here because you wanted to buy it. But you have exclusive only within the small area.
That's how I did it right there.
And how did you get the paint made? I heard that was an interesting story.
It is an interesting story simply because of the genesis of how this came about. So once this girl tells me that she wants to buy this paint, then I'm like, oh gosh, well, I realized it was tax time of the year, and I knew this girl, grew up with this girl, and I thought, you know, I don't want her money because what if, you know, I don't want to take her money and then this doesn't happen. So I said, you just pay me when I deliver it to you. My son's father lived in my hometown, and that's where this girl was from. I said, well, I'll bring you the paint when he comes down to visit his dad when I drive him down. So she said, sure. So I'm going to make up this paint now because now I have a mission. I have a customer. So I just start going through my mind and thinking, you know, we used to pay an invoice to a company here in Louisville whenever I had the paint, when we had the paint in our retail store. And I believe they were from Louisville. And I look on the internet and sure enough, remember the name, and there the company was, sold out to somebody in California. I call the company in California, ask them about the Louisville-based company, and I said, yeah, a small part of that family business is still running today. You should call them. So I do call them, go down, meet them, and lo and behold, this family that owned this business remembered our account and remembered us being in business and remember the old sales rep. A long story goes, I give them the paint. I say, I want to make a chalk type paint. And I gave them an example of one that was readily available. And I think I'm going to have a chemical analysis of this paint and something start spending a lot of money. That's exactly what I was thinking. And the guy takes the lid off and just gives it, you know, a little smell. He says, sure, I'd make that. I said, so that's the chemical analysis of this? He said, yeah, we can make that. He said, just a house paint. I was like, really? He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, oh, goodness, surely this is more than that, you know? So anyway, wasn't long. He called me back, and they thought I was crazy when I left. And they called me back and said, come down and get your sample. And I said, you know what? Let's just make it. And I'm not going to paint with it. Just do it. He said, it's better than the one you have that you brought us. I said, well, that's great. So I put it on eBay immediately with the pieces, the paint that he gives me, took the girl down her paint, got that going. And the eBay and the retailers just kept coming even through eBay. People would buy the product. And
what was so special about it? There's so many other paint companies. You're brand new. What was it that made your eBay listing stand out?
This was a chalk type paint at the time. So my product has evolved. At that time, I was making a chalky flat paint.
Okay, I'm going to ask what that is in a moment. Let me take a moment to say to everyone, my sponsor is HostGator. If you're excited about entrepreneurship, you're excited about this and you want to get going, there's no better place to get a website than to go to HostGator.com/Mixergy. If you select that middle option, they're going to give you unlimited domain. So every little idea that you have without having to figure out how do I spin up a website, how do I get everything going, you just go to HostGator. Once you have this account, and you just create it the way that an artist, if they have a pad of paper around, could just start drawing. Once you get that pad of paper, any idea can start to get executed. HostGator.com/Mixergy. Super low price, even lower if you use my /Mixergy URL. And incredibly dependable. I've been with them now for years. I highly recommend that you go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. And they got a list of all these benefits. Like they'll give you $100 Google ad credits. They'll give you, you know what? I'm not here to sell you features. I'm here to tell you, go start something. And if you go to HostGator, it'd be great for me, be honest with you, because they're sponsors, and it'd be great for you because they're going to give you a low price and they'll take good care of your site. HostGator.com/Mixergy. What is this chalk thing? I intentionally interrupted because I know from before we got started that this is key. Chalky chalk chalk. What was it, that first version that you made that was so...
Well, it was very chalky and flat, and meaning that it needed to have a wax coating on top of it. And of course, I created my own wax formula on my stove, cooking up wax.
Oh, so this was your idea. You said, look, people like this chalky feel, but they obviously can't have a chalky wall where when they touch it, they get dust on their hands. But I know how to make the wax. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Well, my product, instead of for walls and chalkboard, it was for furniture. So you don't want your furniture dry, gritty, chalky. So you want to give it that aged or antique old look. And you do that using a wax product. And that's exactly what I created was a wax.
Oh, so it was the combination that you could give people this old feel of furniture with the paint that you imagined and you knew what that looked like because you sold furniture for so long, but you also were able to create the wax on top. Got it. So people on eBay bought it. It was $1,200 to the first woman who was a friend of yours who found you on Facebook. How much did you start bringing in from eBay?
My goal was $100 a day. I said, if I can make $100 a day, $3,000 a month, that will be enough for me just to play over here and give my son something fun to do after work, after school.
It was just side business. He was helping
my son. My son.
But it was a side business because you were still.
Sorry.
I get that it was for your son, but you were thinking, I still got this job. I'm working with this Northerner, this guy and all of his friends. I'm going to work with them, but this will bring in some nice money and get my son going in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Did you do for your son what your parents did for you? Like, give them that kind of experience?
I have done a lot of that with my son. The only
How?
Thing I did
I'd like to do with my kids. They're 5 and 3. I'm at a point where I could start. What did you do with your son?
Well, one thing that my mother always did, even though we were, giving us all this encouragement, was she always traveled with my sister, myself, and whoever else we wanted to take. She took us all over the world. And even though she was a small town country person, she was smart enough, business savvy enough that she knew that would open our eyes to the world. And it did. And it also let us see that, you know, different diversities around the world and how everybody's different culturally and all that. So for that reason, I said, with my own son, I'm going to travel with him. And I think that gave him a different perspective on
like
the world.
What do you get? It feels like it's fun and there is a sense of other people out there. I get it. My world is broadening. My vision of what's possible is broadening. But substantively, what changes because he's able to see that? Do you have an example of something that's different?
Oh, 100 things change.
Give me an example. What's different?
I think everything changes. Well, I think because, you know, sometimes if you sit back in your armchair and you look around the world and you go, everybody's so much smarter than I am. Everybody is in such a better place than I am. I can't get in the fashion business because I don't live in Paris. I can't be the president because I don't live in the right city or whatever. You can't limit your thinking. And once I think, you go out there and you see the rest of the world, you go, you know what? They're no different than I am. You can be anything you want to be. It doesn't, your geography doesn't contain or stop you from being whoever you want to be. So I think when people travel, ultimately they see that and they see that we live in the greatest country in the world and they see that anything that we want to do, we have the ability to do in this country. So I believe traveling is a huge eye opener for children. And even though they probably don't really want to go, I didn't take my son to the beach all the time. So that was one thing I didn't do. And I still don't really, I still go to the beach, but I don't take him. I didn't take him to those trips. I took him to Europe and I took him to places that matter. I took him to the Vatican. I took him to places that he could see things that are so far removed from his own world. And I think it's made a different person out of him. He does still see himself as someone who wants to continue to travel, unlike me. But I think in time, as he grows up more and gets a little older, he's going to find that that's also been very eye-opening for him as well. And he'll do his own children that way, I hope.
I was telling my kids a story last night of how we took our cat to Argentina long before they were born. And one day our cat just fell out the window because he would sit on the window, which was open, and he handled himself well for a long time. One day he fell down. We couldn't find him. I printed up a picture of a cat that looked like ours. I started walking around and I used Google Translate to translate the lost our cat. If you can find him, please call our number and put it on a sign, and walked around and showed it to people in my bad Spanish. And then one person understood, showed me where the cat was under his car. Cat broke a bone. We had to find a hospital. And for them, it was just like, for them, it was just an interesting story that let them know a little bit about their parents before they were born. But it reminded me also that when you live in a different country, everything is a can you figure it out and get by moment, that at the end of when you do get by, you feel a sense of strength for having overcome it, for having overcome, how do I ask these strangers where my cat is? How do I, who can I talk to here? How do I find a hospital for the cat? What 100%. Do I explain to the cat, to the hospital, what happened? In all those moments, it's just daily life. Going and getting a croissant for breakfast is interesting because they sell media lunas. They don't sell croissants. And if you ask for a coffee to go, they don't know what a coffee to go is, right? Yeah. And this is Argentina.
That's so what I love about travel.
That's what I love about it.
It challenges you. It challenges you so much. Right. And I travel now. I just recently went to Singapore by myself and never gone to Asia and always wanted to go. I'm going to go to Kuala Lumpur. I probably would have said no to that trip going to Singapore. And I said, you know, why would I not go? There's nothing there that I'm scared of. I don't know a single person. I also went to Dubai and went over to the Middle East. Not alone. I did go with someone there.
I went to Singapore too on my own. Here are a couple of things that I got from it. Number one, the most impactful thing was I thought having closed caption TVs everywhere would feel like an oppressive government watching you all the time. And I'm not saying that it's great. I'm not passing any judgment. I walked into it with this judgment. And then I realized as I was running through streets that I didn't recognize at all, I'd see these women walking around by themselves sometimes in threes, wearing not skimpy clothes, but just like not worried about what they were wearing and where they were. And I said, I've traveled now all over the world. I don't remember another country where women could on their own at night in these little corners of the city just go walking on their own and feel comfortable and feel a sense of lightness, feel safe. Now, for me, all I saw was the oppression. For them, and I've talked to people in Singapore, they feel a sense of pride that they are protected by this. Now, that was an eye-opener culturally to see that. I've tons of examples. What did you get out of going to Singapore?
Oh, you know, looking back, it's a hell of a long way.
It's what?
It's a hell of a long way. I know that.
It is very far. Yes.
I went there to, I was my travel product that I invented that I have a patent for actually. And, the Tax-Free World Association voted my product as one of the best travel products or one of the best products in 2018. So I went there for the awards banquet. Of course, I didn't win, but I was there just with myself and another product. So I was there to represent my product. But I learned a lot going there. I learned that traveling alone is very adventurous, and I did feel a sense of accomplishment just to navigate all that and to get home in one piece. And I really felt very much like I had conquered the world when I got home, you know?
I just wrote a note to myself to come back and ask you about the travel product, but I realized that we're also getting off the story here because I had to tell you stories about my trips and find out about your son.
I like hearing your stories. This makes it a two-way street here. I like it.
I like that. I like getting a chance to share them. You were then saying, I think I got something here. I'm going to go into other stores. Did you get into Walmart? Did you try to get into Walmart?
You know, I didn't. Because we quickly learned, and I am one of those people. We got into Camping World, if you're familiar with Camping World. I met Marcus Simonis in Chicago. Camping World is a chain of stores that sell to people who are camping enthusiasts. They sell everything from campers themselves, motorhomes of all facets, and then all the supplies. And they have locations around the country. They're up to about 82 storefronts. And Marcus Simonis is a business entrepreneur himself, and Lee Iacocca was one of his mentors early on in his career. And of course, he's a very brilliant person, and I give him all the accolades in the world. But the Camping World organization kind of burnt me on how retailers work today.
What do you mean?
Got into Camping World. Got our product on the shelves.
What was it like to get your product into Camping World? What do they have to do with paint?
Well, because I have a product that paints leathers and vinyls, and you can paint literally anything inside your camper. So if your camper is looking old and dowdy, you can paint the walls, which are covered with vinyl most of the time. So my product is flexible. This paint, this all-in-one paint that I'm telling you about.
Okay.
You can paint leather, vinyl, you can paint the cabinets, you can paint the countertops, you can paint pretty much any surface inside that home and make it look brand new. So Camping World loved it for that. You can paint the driver's seat if you want and make your seats look brand new and they don't crack and all that.
Got it. Okay. So you got in there. This was fantastic, except
you think
what happened?
Yeah. Sounds very good. Sounds great. We also got into their catalog that goes out to all of these. I forgot, a couple, 3 million people have the catalog that every year or biannually, whatever, they send this catalog out. We had a listing in the catalog. We had, we were known to be part of their group, let's say, and they got a discount. So for buying from the Camping World organization, if you were a member like Sam's Club, you could be in the Good Sam, is what's called actually, the Good Sam Club. So we were in all of that. We gave discounts and heavy discounts to be in those stores and to put our product where people can walk in and buy it off of the shelf, what you think is where you want your product to be. But unfortunately, that's not how it works today. Every retailer, and this is my own experience, and I'll just tell you how I feel about it. I could be wrong, but I'm going to tell you right now, the numbers speak for themselves. So here we are giving our product at a huge discount to retailers to get it on the shelf. I'm sending my product into these stores, hoping that it's on the shelf. So I start talking to all of my 6 million followers that I have on my social pages, and I'm directing my customers to go into Camping World and buy it in their hometown. Walk in, pick it up.
Why are you doing that? Aren't they supposed to do that? It's their store.
Well, they think, but they don't. They don't. They think because they've put it into a catalog that now all of a sudden that it will speak. I don't know how they think it's, again, so this is how I came up with this idea. All right. So I'm directing my customers to find this now, hoping to make their life more convenient by putting it on these shelves. We were actually getting into Tractor Supply, and I turned down the order, so we already had been approved to go into Tractor Supply, which is a lot of locations. So this is when I made the turn away from retail right here. So Camping World puts the product on their shelf and puts it in all of the stores, supposedly, and we're telling everybody to go get it there, and come to find out, my customers were going there. These people that I talk to every day online were going into these stores, only to find that they hadn't even set the product on the shelf yet. So we're disappointed. They'd driven there to get it, got out of the car, went in to get it. So now highly disappointed. Camping World only wanted to put in 6 colors to test this. So now I offer 30 colors. They only have 6. So just wouldn't you know that this customer can't find the color they're looking for. I'm talking about all 30 colors. Now this store only has 6. So they're already disappointed again. And so here is what ultimately happened. And this is how retailers work today, and you can take this to the bank because this is exactly what they do, and this is including Do It Best. This is exactly what they did. Once they were able to buy my product wholesale at this discount that I gave them so they would put it on the shelf for the convenience of the customer, they then go to the internet and they beat you up and sell under you on Amazon, even if it's through stores names that they set up that don't reflect that it's Do It Best or that it's Camping World online.
So you're saying Camping World has another brand online that they personally are selling? It's not even their people who are maybe taking it and selling it?
It is their people. It is them doing it.
They're not freelancing these people?
They don't put their name on it. They're doing it to all of their people.
You're saying they as a company.
It's 100% intentional.
God,
yes.
How'd you discover that they were doing it themselves? Or you just saw it on the store and you're assuming that it's
them? Bought it from them.
Just got online. And you saw the shipping label was from them?
Uh-huh. Just got right online and bought it from them. That's exactly how we figured it out.
Okay, so what you realized was, I have to sell. I have to then send people to the store. When they get to the store, they don't have a great experience because a lot of the product is not there, just whatever the store decided to offer. And then they come in and they undercut me on what they have with online sales. And you said, I need this just to flatter myself and feel good and worthy as a business person and creator who sees their stuff in stores and can boast that I'm in the stores? You said, I don't want to do this. You decided I'm going to pull it all and go online. The first thing you did was go to Amazon directly yourself, or did you start selling more on eBay or on your own website? Which one?
Well, we're no longer on eBay. That was a long time ago.
You
I haven't been on eBay
a long time ago. So
all Amazon, 100% Amazon.
You said,
Amazon,
I'm going to go 100% Amazon?
I'm going to go my website and 100% Amazon as well. Everything's on Amazon. All products are on Amazon. Okay. So we were in Prime for 2 days. Now we're in 1 day shipping. So we're down to getting it. You can order it today and somebody's going to walk it in your door the next day. So some things that were holding us back from the surety that customers needed was a sprayed on color card, meaning I got to give them an example of exactly what this color looks like in reality. The only thing that a retail store offered me that I wasn't able to give this online customer was a sample of that paint. So those are very expensive to create, but we bit the bullet. We did it. Now we have this sprayed on color card. So now the customer can get a sample from me for $6.99. We send it to them, free shipping. I mean, they pay the shipping. We send the sample for free for $6.99. And inside that sample comes this color strip of all the colors. So once they get that, try it. Now they can order with the surety that they're getting the color that they've already seen. So that was the only thing keeping us and making us want to reach to retail, was because people can't, because the monitor says it looks bright red, it may not be that color because your monitor may not be showing it exactly how it looks in reality. So now that we've solved that quandary for people, they can buy everything online from us with the an assurance that they're going to get the color that they need. So
you know what? So last night, I don't know what it is with, I know what it is with me. I always worry that I'm going to be like some of these other entrepreneur podcasts, get snowed by someone who claims that they're doing great, but that don't really exist. So I literally, I put the kids to sleep last night and I just started looking around to see, is she for real? Do people even like her product? Is she trying to like use me as a way of pretending that she's got this great product to get another Google hit? No, no. I looked it up and I know one
Good,
of the things
I'm glad.
That I saw.
I want you to.
Oh yeah. I even saw old videos of you with like, you didn't call yourself the founder of it in the video. You called yourself, let me see what the title is.
Creative director. I still call myself that, by the way.
Oh, okay. That's- this was like from 2015. It's you.
Oh yeah.
Showing people how to stir the pain. Anyway, here's one thing that
you
I'm
too.
Glad that I saw. Page 3 or 4 of Google, I see that Walmart does sell your product. And of course, for me, it wasn't, does Walmart sell your product or not? It was, do people like the product or is this some kind of BS thing that we're now getting hyped for? No, they do. It's 60 reviews. That's the thing that I registered last night. Today I'm registering. It is for sale on Walmart.com. How?
Yeah, well, those are push channels from Do It Best, and I don't think they've taken them off yet. So actually, Walmart doesn't even own touch the product. It's just Do It Best.
Somebody else.
The hardware store was pushing it through to Jet, Walmart, all of those channels. So anywhere you go.
Glidden High Endurance Plus. Do you know them, or is this like another brand? No.
No.
That is one of the problems where it's someone else then take, oh no, I take it back. I got totally snowed. No. The first link was you.
Yeah.
This is somebody else creating something like you. The first link was you and it was listed as out of sale. Got it. This is someone else. That's another problem with online sales. The people are then creating knockoffs. There was Wirecutter, the New York Times valuation site that just showed how they bought the real thing from Amazon and the fake thing too. And you can't tell them apart. It was only their research that helped them tell it apart. So your stuff is being sold here. I can see it. Mm-hmm. And I also see people who are knocking you off. But is that an issue for you?
Knocking me off? On what?
Creating like fake versions of you. And then Walmart has a reason to encourage people to buy the fake stuff.
That has to be the push channel. They can out, you know, if they are, they're going to be pending a lawsuit here. I will say that.
It's like knockoff, but the name is just close enough that I was tricked as I was looking quickly. So yeah,
really?
You know. All right. It doesn't. I'm just.
You're
going to
make me go look.
You should go look. I could see you want to go look right now.
I do occasionally, but not that hard. I don't go to page 3. Maybe I need to get past
page
1 and 2.
I want to see what people are burying. You know, it really bothers me when I listen to another podcast and there's like they're talking up somebody, and I know that I can't stop researching them. I know that they're full of it. And the thing that I want sometimes is I want to call people out and go, this person has nothing. But I can't.
And you're
just
shouting them out for nothing. Right. Exactly.
I gotta support. I gotta support the entrepreneur. I can't.
Yeah.
There's only one like VPN company that just drives me nuts. I look to see who the founder of the company, before I traveled internationally. And when I got a VPN, I said, I don't know these countries. I don't know all these different internet services that I'm connecting to and Wi-Fi. I'll go get a VPN. I checked out this one VPN company. All the podcasters are talking about them. I said, all right, I'll sign up. I paid. This was like before a trip to Asia. I gotta have something. And then I realized, wait a minute. I think this company is owned by a Chinese company, and you know the Chinese government is watching it. And so I messaged them. I said, who owns this company? And they said, well, we have a really good service. I go, yes, who owns it? Well, we run out of this European location. I go, I talked to enough founders to know that there's ways to make your stuff obviously look like it's in London. How many new entrepreneurs do I talk to who day one, they
Huawei.
Have a London office, right?
Huawei, they're in London.
Yeah, they're in London too, right? Exactly. So you can just be open with me. I have no problem with you being a Chinese company, but just be, no, I can't find out. And I went on a crusade on Twitter to try to figure out who owns them. They still would not tell me. All right, anyway.
No, they never want you to know, I'm sure.
This is where I get.
Well, I hope you found out good things on me. So
I did, and don't get me wrong. I was looking for bad stuff. It's not that you're a bad person or a bad entrepreneur if there's bad stuff. I just want to know it. And if it's nothing but you trying to use me, then I want to be aware of that too, so that I can say no gently and move on. And if it is good, I want to find that out too. All right. This is a long like diatribe that I went on. Let me say this, guys. I should talk about my second sponsor. It's a company called Top Talent. Since I've been yapping too much, I'm not going to make it long. You already know, if you need to hire a developer, not a really bad developer, inexpensively, that you're going to work with and train and get them up and running, no, but a really good developer, and not one that's going to take you weeks and months to put listings on everywhere, and you're going to be proud of your hiring process, which takes you months and then sets you back time-wise. If you really want a great developer, super fast, do what I do. Challenge this ad. Go to toptal.com/Mixergy and see if I'm full of it. You don't have to hire anybody. You just go to that page, you start a conversation with a matcher, and you say, Andrew told me you're the best of the best. Show me, prove it to me. And if they prove it to you by putting two great developers in front of you and you want to hire one of them, great, you hire them. And if you still think this doesn't work out for you, they've got a 2-week trial period. They will not charge you, but they will still pay the developer. And if you decide you're still happy with them, it gets better and better. They'll give you 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours. All you have to do is go to toptal.com/Mixergy. Since I am a New Yorker, just like, who is that guy? Like Glenn Nelson, who talks very fast and very in your face. I will say slowly. It's top as in top of your head. Tal as in talent.
What city are you from?
I'm from, I grew up in Queens.
Ah, so I worked in Long Island for him.
For Glenn?
All over. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Long Island growing up. There are no sidewalks. There are no lights at night. It's like, I come from New York. Lots of sidewalks, walk everywhere, lots of lights.
Not there.
I was like 17 years old driving through Long Island. They got no sidewalks. You have to drive everywhere. No lights, so you can't see anything. And then once you get there,
Then
I discovered when I was older and I was dating somebody who had family that had a house on Long Island for the, like a beach house, I realized this is why people come. Beautiful
You're
beach
right.
houses, go out at night and you party in these places that look like dives. But that's the thing. If you're willing to spend $100 on a drink, there's no better place to spend it at a dive bar in Long Island with interesting people who end up,
I said, then you can get on the train and go into the city when you want.
Yes.
Just get right on the little train.
Which is probably better than driving. And you discover these people. Yeah, they're in flip-flops and just kind of hanging out, but they're running the whole finance business of the world. All right, I should close it out. Top is in top of your head. Tal is in talent. toptal.com/mixergy. toptal.com/mixergy. Challenge them the way that I challenge myself and challenge my guests. All right. So you pull it out. You start to sell on your own site and Amazon. For Amazon, what did you do to close sales on Amazon? What did you do to get people to buy?
It's one of those things. It's just the product has been so well received and the reviews have been so good that customers found it and started buying it and reviews just came. So to get up into rankings on Amazon, of course, it takes reviews and satisfied customers. So right now we just can't even keep enough products sent to Amazon to even keep our numbers out of the negatives.
Well, so one of the things that I understood that you did was you did the first, like the delivery by Amazon, FSA,
FBA, fulfilled by Amazon.
Fulfilled by Amazon, thank you. I was spacing out. You did that early on when it was kind of a newer thing, when it was going to cost you more money to have them do it, right? You said, I'm going to trust it. I'm getting out of the business of dealing with this and shipping it. I'm going to take it to Amazon. And you jumped on that fast, right?
I did FBA about 3 years ago, and I had a person that came to work for me who said they understood the FBA process. And of course, they didn't, but they said they did enough that I trusted them to get us started and get our feet wet. I didn't understand how to give something a SKU number and get it in the system, and I thought I had to go make a lot of changes to my packaging. You know, I didn't even have a barcode on my product at that time. So I was only in these retailer stores. So I didn't need all of that. But
you didn't
need
a barcode in a retailer store? They don't need to swipe through the scan?
You know, these are not sophisticated retailers, mom and pop retailers. They weren't scanning in anything.
What about Camping World? Weren't they doing it? Oh, this was before Camping World.
This is some years ago. So yeah, I remember the first month on Amazon, I did $500 in sales. I was like, well, yeah, whatever, you know, $500, that's not so bad. We weren't an FBA at that time. We were still fulfilling it ourselves. We'd get the order from Amazon and sent to the customer. So, you know, that was our first little step into the water. And the next month it was $550 or something like that. It didn't take a big leap, but we didn't have many products there. And we continued to kind of throw more at it and just watch the numbers begin to move, and started watching those numbers against all different channels, all the revenue streams that we had, one being the retailer, one being, you know, Camping World, one being Do It Best, one being our own website, and one being Amazon. And right now, Amazon has surpassed our own website, and I feel like that's going to continue to grow. And like I said, we just received our filling equipment while I'm sitting here with you. It's delivering right now to our back dock, and it'll make 8,000 quarts of paint a day, and you can do the math. We're going to be fulfilling Amazon for FBA fulfillment for Canada, for the Amazon Warehouse Canada and Europe. So we're going to really turn up the crank here this year. So
who is this woman?
Can't wait to see what it's going to do.
Who is this woman who came in? She took this on. Who is this woman? Is this Melissa?
This is that little girl. Her dad handed her $10,000 and said, "Hey, drive up to Chicago and pay those people."
No, this was you. No, the person who figured out how to get you on Amazon, the barcode, the person you hired who didn't have much experience.
Oh, this person. Oh, she was just a girl that was doing graphic design in my building who told me she knew how to do Amazon. She didn't know how, but she knew enough to get it. She told me, you don't have to have a barcode. You can just go over here and buy barcodes from a barcode generator website. And, you know, that wasn't something you could do some years ago. And we assigned barcodes to the products that we put on Amazon. So that's how we kind of started the process. And then, you know, I brought everything in-house. And I think that's been another important thing, is I always try to bring everything in-house and control every aspect of our product. And I'm a big proponent of, it doesn't matter how much money you take in, it matters how much you keep at the end of the day. And I try to guard every dollar, and from the container to the label to the labor that we put into the package and everything about that. So I look at all aspects of the product and see how we can maintain the high quality that we have, as well as make a better product faster to market. So that's what it's all about. So we make our own labels. We print our own labels. We just got a brand new label printing machine that cuts the label and prints it on a beautiful material, as well as this filling equipment. So, you know, we just moved. We moved 5 times in the last 6 years, and we just moved into a brand new
church location. Recently, or was that one of the last ones?
No, that was a couple. That was 2-3 moves ago. We moved to a church. I bought a church that I found on Craigslist.
You bought the whole church?
Bought the whole church and the land around it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just so you could. Why own your place?
Sorry?
Why did you want to own your place?
Well, at the time when we first started the business, we were renting in a commercial park, in a business park, and we were renting different buildings that were not even contiguous space to each other because we were growing so quickly. And, you know, at the time we thought, wow, this is huge. This is 6,000 square feet. And then we went over and rented another one that was 4,000 and so on. So, you know, we kept growing and growing. And so I said, you know, here's the kicker. I don't know this business. I was getting uncomfortable renting all this space because I said, these people won't take an IOU. If we can't meet the rental payment, they're going to tell us to move out. So what if the business turns down? And I want to get where I'm going to pay this kind of money a month, you know, $7,000-$8,000 rent a month. I'm going to be making a mortgage payment, because that way I can control my destiny a little bit. So that's when I found the church. And I said, hey, we can add on to this thing. We can make it what it is. The church was nothing more than a steel building with a steeple on top. So we removed the steeple and off we went, and found out quickly that we couldn't build onto this building. It was in a floodplain. So we sold the building very quickly and moved again to another location. And we thought it was big enough. And we came very close to buying that building and quickly outgrew it before our lease was even up. We were looking for more property, and we just moved here, and we're adding on to this building, 12,000 square feet, met with the construction people today. So we're in 12,000 right now, adding 12 in the back. So we'd be at 24, and we need it tomorrow.
And a large part of this, as we said, is from Amazon, but it's also from your site. So I'm looking you up on Ahrefs. They're a partner of ours. I've got an account there. I'm trying to see, are you doing content marketing to get people over? From what I could see, not really. It seems like it's advertising.
Well, I can tell you where it is. I can give you 100%. where it is. Where you know, is I started this thing out, and you saw my early videos producing them ourselves. And of course, we still produce everything ourselves. And I do teaching videos and teaching people how to use our products and paint themselves, and giving women and men to encouraging them to pick up a paintbrush, things they've generally gone to or had to pay someone to do. And I show them how to use the paint and how to get these results that are professional, that they're going to say, how, you know, somebody priced painting my kitchen for $4,000. I did it for a quart and a half of paint or two, you know, for under $100 and the little time they did it themselves. So
this is content. This is content marketing on YouTube, not on your own site.
No, you know, YouTube has been a great thing for us early on. YouTube was the only thing I knew to do. And of course, Facebook came along with, you know, just the Facebook strategy of the live content and the live feed that you could do. And I started doing a lot of lives, started growing. My audience began to grow. Then we opened a Facebook group, a private group. And that group is at 110,000 people. And they're mainly all users of the product. So I take that. You know, I take my main Facebook page and encourage people to get into our group, so then we can help them, educate them, show them projects, give them ideas on where to use the product around their home and what they can do with it, and see other people's version of it instead of mine. Sometimes, you know, people watch you and they go, oh, is this trick photography or whatever? You never know what people think today, because so many things can be done with digital imagery. So the greatest thing is when someone else shares their story, not necessarily my perspective, but their story. So when people see that other people are getting the results outside of the company, then they go, hey, this is true. It really does work. And they're not just pulling my leg to get me to buy this, you know? So once that corroborates, you know, how easy the product is to use, then that group has been very wonderful for us. And of course, we're touching about 5 million people right now a month on Facebook. So even though we only have 150 some thousand likes, our engagement, and you can check this because you are one of those.
I'm doing it right now. If it feels like you lost me, you did not. I'm watching everything that you're saying here and checking it out. Here's one.
Well, you can go look at the big boys. Look at Sherwin Williams. Look at all of them, Joanna Gaines, all those, and you can see what their engagement is versus our small numbers, 150,000. And
I see 107,000 though in the group. No, you're right. No, 151,000. No, the 151 people like the page.
That's the group. That's the private group at 107.
I do see a public group with 107.
It's a public group. Sorry, I shouldn't say private.
So there's a woman named Min who just posted in there now 11 minutes ago. and she says, we recently purchased this. And she's pointing to cabinets in the picture. I'm not really liking the colors. What color would you guys recommend? And then she lists a bunch of colors and she says, thank you for your help. And then Amanda, 7 minutes ago, that's 4 minutes after she posted, Amanda came in with some questions and some input. And now the conversation's going beyond where I care to keep going, diving in. But I could see
it will continue
now
all day and all night.
I could see what this group is about. It's people posting photos of their furniture. This one person posted a photo of their couch. Can I still paint a couch?
Sure. You can paint leather and vinyl with this product.
Oh, remember this. I love retro. These people are asking $60 for this couch. It's leather. Do you think I could successfully redo it in polo?
Yep.
It's calling.
You can. You want to get her there real quickly. Yes, you can.
No, I'm not getting into this. But she has 119 comments. 119 comments of people. I'm not jumping into that.
Oh, yeah. The group is where it is, and that's where we kind of live. You know, so I have that's where it is. Admin.
What about ads? I heard you hired somebody who's a pro at buying ads. Did that work out for you?
You know, that's Melissa, who came in my business about, I think she's been with me about 5 years now. I hired her as a bookkeeper and just to try to help me, you know, maintain the status quo of having employees on it. Melissa had never been on the marketing side of business. And I said, hey, she really balances me. You know, I'm kind of a balloon on, she tethers me to the ground a little bit. And she said, no, I've never done marketing before. And I said, you know, you work great with me, because she will throw me an idea. Maybe it's not the idea that I was thinking of, but it gives me something to go for. And together we can really, we bounce things off of each other very well and balance each other. So she's now the general manager of the business, and I let her kind of run with everything. And she is fantastic. There is
I heard
no
for
works.
A long time you didn't get paid, but she got paid because you guys were running on low, right? You're wincing.
You know, I
got it wrong,
maybe,
or what?
Because this business, I'll have to go back it up just a bit, because whenever I started the business, again, in my kitchen, I met someone about that time, and he and I were, you know, it wasn't long that we were living under the same roof together. He was in a great business himself. He was come up in the insurance business, and Craig is his name. And so he was doing really well and had all of his life. He was in his 50s, and, you know, he made a six-figure income on his own. So he didn't need my help, but he was encouraging me to do this business. And I was like, okay, you know, with your support, and, you know, he and I were in love and whatever. So he said, I want you to quit traveling, and I want you to really get in here and do this business. So I said, all right, with that encouragement, I'm going to do it. So I did, and going to New York during that time. So I was full force into this, and I wasn't taking any money out of the business, because there wasn't much to take to begin with. So I was leaving it alone. And in a very short span of time, I'm going to say 6 months into this, Craig calls me on a Thursday afternoon, and he said, you are not going to believe this. He was working out in Seattle, where he was from originally. He was traveling back out there. The company he worked for, huge Delta Dental, he was back out in Seattle working every other week out there. And he said, I lost my job. And I said, no way. He said, I wouldn't kid about that. So he was very emotional and upset about it. And I said, well, come join me in this business. And so he laughed. You know, he said, y'all know that you really understand what you're saying. I've got three children and a daughter getting married who's expecting a big wedding by her daddy. And, you know, I've got another son in college and one in high school. And I also had one, and both of our boys were in private school. So I was like, wow, what are we going to do now? And I said, just come and help me. I could never pay for you to be in the business. But now that we don't have an option, he said, nah, I need to get back in the insurance. I'm going to go work for Blue Cross. So he had that opportunity. And I said, well, you know, if you want to go back in the insurance business, or you want to come help me. And of course, he is colorblind. He'd never painted a stick of anything in his life, had no interest in anything in the DIY world. And I said, just come and help me. And so he started kind of dabbling, helping me to try to feel better, I think, and with all intentions of going back into the insurance world. But he said, let's go over and lease a building. So we went out and leased this first building. It was a flex space office in the front, a warehouse in the back. It was 1,800 square feet. So we moved into that, and he started helping me shoot those videos, like the one you first saw, that little video. That was one we did. He was going to try to script me and tell me what I needed to say in these videos. I said, that is absolutely impossible. I just have to talk. You know, this is me. I've just got to talk. So in other words, he didn't do well as a director directing me anyway. So long story short, we immediately, as he came into the business, he said he had a $100,000, let me take that back. He had a pension from where he had worked in some other insurance business before, that $100,000. And then he had a severance of 3 months. He said, I've got a 3 months of severance. After that, I don't know what we'll do. So I had all of those houses I told you in tow still that I still owned in Tennessee, and a great deal of expenses coming out for son in school, his boys, you know, all of that. So it was a fun moment. And I said, just get in here and let's dig, let's go to work. And, you know, again, he was a fish out of water, but I just got in there and rock and roll, man. And we never missed a paycheck and still haven't to this day. There was, I think this is worth mentioning, and I believe that's what you're recalling there from the paperwork, is when one of the last Do It Best markets that we went to, we had gone out. The Do It Best market is in Indianapolis 2 times a year. It's very expensive, about $20,000 for us to go, not to mention the time away and all the expense to get there. The booth itself was $20,000. So they do pretty good on these little adventures here, these booths they charge for. And so we'd gone out to Las Vegas to the National Hardware Show. So we had our booth out there and then picked it up and shipped it up to Indianapolis just for the following week to go for that show. When we arrived in Indianapolis, our booth was totally destroyed. It was just sitting there in a heap of wood pile. Already starting this off as a disaster. And so Melissa and I are there trying to put it together and make heads or tails of this thing. And Craig calls, because he's still in Louisville, he calls to tell me that really an issue, that Melissa's paycheck was not going to cash. So that was probably the lowest low that, you know, that I can recall. That was the low of the low, because this was also the worst market, because they have a good one and a slow one. This was the slow market. This is the one you generally don't see many people that you haven't already met before, because nobody new shows up to this. So it was one customer rolled in the door that was the iconic wow. member at DeVest that everybody, you know, everybody would say, my product is at this store. And these guys rolled into our booth and put it in all of their locations. So thank God that little, that was 50 grand worth of business again. If that hadn't happened, I don't know where we would have ended up after that day, but her check cashed. That's the only time that's ever happened. And I think that was another reckoning moment, or just a moment for me to think, this doesn't work. What we're doing here is enriching these guys, really. And why am I doing that? Why am I throwing $40,000 to $1,000 in a booth to rent, to go stand in a little booth to try to sell my product to people I've put into their warehouse who do nothing to help support it or help to sell it? And rather than doing that, why don't I just give a break to these people who already love and use my product that I'm talking to every single day? So it just rolled back to that again. And I still remember that old Blockbuster thing going on in my head, you know, whenever you can say, how does Gary Vee say that he wants to order a movie? He was wanting to do it with his laying in his underwear in his bed, same way I want to shop. You know, I don't need to get up and go to Blockbuster to pick out a video. I'm just going to get on Netflix and buy something tonight. You know, same thing.
I'm like that too. I don't want to go to any store and buy anything unless it's like to keep the kids entertained. So that's why I go to Target, which I've never been to before I had kids. And then I said, let's just walk in here. Let's walk into any store and see what things are.
Let these kids run.
But I feel like, yeah, and they love everything. I take them to Home Depot, even though I never buy anything from Home Depot, but they get to go in the shower, pretend they're taking a shower and one of the showers on display. The thing though that I imagine is if I wanted to buy paint, wouldn't I want to go to a store to make sure that it was the right color? Because I've got an iPad here in front of me that I like. It's showing one color. I see my laptop over here. It's showing a faded version of the same color.
That's not it.
So how do you do it?
Well, how did we get around that? Just like I told you earlier.
How?
If you believe that this paint product is something that you want to try, we want to put the product in your hand. Now, this would have sank you if this product didn't exceed the customer's expectations. Meaning, if I'm going to send you a sample and my customer acquisition costs are high in that, and they are, I'm going to send you a $16.99 jar of paint, and the only thing you pay is the $6.99 shipping. I'm at a loss of about $3 per person every time that comes through, and I'm going to put that into your hand, and you pick a color that you think you like, but inside that box is coming this strip of colors that are all spot on matches to the paint. So now you have the paint, you can make a decision if you like the product and how it looks and feels, and did it deliver what you thought, and now if you like it, you can pick it out because you've got the color in your hand. So that's the only way we could win at this without being on the shelf somewhere. So,
and I could also get the color card for $3, right?
Yep, you can buy that too.
But the thing is that I could go into a store and just see it immediately and then see competitors too. Why are people choosing to wait? Why are people choosing to pay where they could just go to the store and see it for free?
All right. So let's say you go to Lowe's, Home Depot today. First of all, you got to find some human that knows something, because most people in there don't know a doggone thing. I'm going to be bombarded with 75,000 color options. Most people today are confused by what color looks good, because they can look at those little chips, and once they take that home, that's not exactly what they thought it would be either. So we've given these colors a lot of thought. We've digested these colors. In other words, we've painted a lot of projects. You can also go in that group and see all kinds of projects where people are showing it in different lighting, in the daylight, in the nightlight, in the different bulbs, you know, and they can see it and feel it and touch it. You go into Lowe's, Home Depot, and all these colors, you're not going to really see these colors on anything. You're just going to take a stab in the dark and go, well, that looks like a shade of green. And I get it home, and in my light, it's not a shade of green. All of a sudden, it's a shade of brown. And that, you know,
for example, Sharon Plouffe 15 hours ago showed a picture of a dresser that has, it looks like wood veneer on it. And then she showed the different paint and how she did it. Got it. And you know what? That does resonate with me. I don't even, when it comes to buying a computer equipment, for example, I don't necessarily want to go into the store anymore and see it. What I want is to see a bunch of YouTubers beat it up, a bunch of real users put it to you so I see what's possible, talk about the problems with it so I know what the dangers are, and then I'm interested. I don't even want to go into a store and see it for myself.
Because nobody knows anything. You know as well as I do. No one knows anything. Go into Best Buy and ask about a computer or wherever. You're not going to find any knowledge.
My least favorite is, I have in the past gone to Home Depot when I needed something. I can't even find them to come help
Good
me.
Luck
and
with
then
that.
they act like they're doing me a favor when you know what? Yeah. I'm lost here. What do you like? Can you just be a little nicer? Can you help me out? Or at least how about have a stupid app that tells me where stuff is if it's too distracting for you to hear me ask, where can I get some wood so my kid can learn how to pound some nails into it? Right. All right. I'm not going to keep ripping into it. That does answer my question. I've gotten a lot. Oh, I did have two things written down here. I was about to say goodbye. And then I realized this would have been such a good place to end it. But I'm kind of an anal person. I do have to come back and ask two things that are on my checklist. Number one, what's a travel product that you brought up earlier?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, being a designer, I don't just design houses. I design everything. You know, I made leather stageware for country music entertainers for a lot of years. And so sewing is second nature to me. Started doing it very young. So whenever my friend, I told you, Glenn Nelson, the guy that I worked for in New York, when he was killed in a car accident, I went up to the wake. And on the plane ride up there, I was just where I'd flown so much in so many years and had neck problems and developed a lot of issues from that. I decided that I have this brainstorm just comes to me. This is what works. I'd thrown away so many pillows, never even carry one, buy the newest, greatest, latest thing, and never even put it in my bag. So it didn't work for me. I had a revolution in my mind, and I thought, I know this works. I got home, couldn't wait to sit down in front of my sewing machine. I said, this is from him. You know, he loved entrepreneurs. He invested in a lot of different crazy ideas out there. Got a lot of his money taken, actually. But I sat at the sewing machine, sewed this up, called an attorney. Someone told me, you need to call this patent attorney. Called him up, said, hey, do you think this is something that's patentable? I mean, I had no idea even the terminology. He said, let me look into it. He calls me up and he says, it is, actually. He said, yours is the only product out there that's made like this that actually would work. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. He said, there's thousands of pillows and neck pillows, designs of pillows that wrap around the seat and all that. But mine didn't wrap around the seat. Mine come from the rear of the seat and it come over the back of the seat. So no matter if your head extends into the height of the seat, and it's the size of an iPhone. So it's not this big cumbersome thing around the neck. It actually just stops forward head motion. It clips on. It has retracting push button cord reels. So it's just this tiny little device. You just put it on over your eyes, your forehead, or under your neck, either way, wherever you want to wear it. And it just goes down in this nice little pouch. It's called Sleep Upright. And it is phenomenal. I launched it on Kickstarter. It did about $275,000 in sales. And from there, it just kind of had a little life of its own. And I just got awarded a patent by the USPTO for a full utility patent for it.
I don't mean to correct you, but I think it did $307,274.
Well, that was combined with Indiegogo. So yeah, it did a little more than that.
Oh, it's done a lot more than that. That's what I see on Kickstarter, but yeah, I get the sense of it.
They blend those. I don't know why they blend those together.
They do blend it? Oh.
They do. I don't know why, because they're two different platforms. Crazy as they are.
They don't like each other, but so that's
interesting. You don't know why they do that.
So the way it works is you attach it to your headrest, and then it goes in front of your face so you can put it under your chin or whatever, and that way it holds you back up to the headrest. If you fall asleep, your head will fall down without falling into your lap. Got it. All right. This is amazing. This story this would have been a great place to end it too. Here's where I'm going to end it. Kind of awkward, but you told me I could ask you before we got started. You said, Andrew, you could ask me anything, even what my age is. So I wrote it down in a checklist item. How old are you?
50. I just turned 57. 57. Good night. 63 is when I'm born. Is that correct? I am the worst. I try to forget how old I am. Not because it bothers me. I just don't care. It just doesn't matter. But
I'm like that
I think
too. And then it blows people's minds. I get that. How does it feel to be an entrepreneur that late in life? Not at 20.
You know, I'm glad to be sitting where I'm sitting at this age. And I always look back and go, could I have handled this as a younger person? No. The answer to that is a big old flat no. Nope. I would have been out buying things I shouldn't have bought, tied the money up in the wrong things. Ooh, nowadays, the focus is on the right end of the stick. I know what to do, where to go. I'm taking all of my things I've learned the hard way. And this is probably the first time in my life I'm able to say all the negatives. I'm going to turn them into positives right here. I got a lot of people depending on me. So,
a lot of employees. For anyone who wants to go check it out, I've seen a couple of sites, but the one that I'm going to recommend they go check is allinonepaint.com, right? That's yours.
Yep. That's it. We have a lot of URLs, and they're all on HostGator, by the way.
Oh, they are. Oh, right.
Well, they
are.
They were. Yeah, I think so, still.
And then, of course, there's all the Facebook groups where you can see people's home projects. And I'm really grateful to you for doing this interview and for being so open. I want to thank the two sponsors who made this interview happen. As you heard, HostGator. A lot of people who I've talked to have started out on HostGator. You should too. Go to HostGator.com/Mixergy. And if you're hiring a developer, challenge me, challenge yourself, challenge TopTal. If it doesn't work out, you don't have to sign up. But if you do like them, You can get hot. You can hire people who are going to blow your mind at toptal.com/Mixergy. toptal.com/Mixergy. Paula, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everyone. Bye.